You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Mutinoff coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, Civic Media's meteorologist Brittany Merlot joining us for a little weather and wine. Tell us what we can expect as we head into the weekend. It has got to be 30 degrees cooler today than it was yesterday.
She was camping last week at EAA during a heat advisory.
It was so hot.
Way tougher than I'll ever be.
Yeah. So Brittany Merlot joining us at around 10:20 after the 10:30 news. The Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan will be here to talk all things sports. We'll end the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Terminator Bunny Edition. Stay tuned for that. And just a reminder, join Pete Schwabe tonight for Nightlight from 6 to 8 p.m.
Why?
Some incredible guests tonight with Pete Schwabe's Nightlight.
Yeah.
Civic Media's Jimmy Koska.
Oh, God, I could talk about him for all... The man, it does not stop.
The popcorn pick of the week.
Yeah.
And then at 7:20...
Let's move on to other things, Jane.
Co-host of Civic Media's Matinair on Air, Greg Buck.
Yes.
Joining Pete Schwabe tonight at 7:20 on Nightlight.
Listen as Greg makes attempts at humor.
Are you talking movies?
I think we're going to talk movies. They asked me about popcorn pick of the week, but I'm not listed for that. So you got passed over. What you're doing now, people, is you're listening to a conversation that could happen off air, but it's not. It's going to be great. I love talking to Pete. We always have a good time. We have a lot of friends in common in the stand-up community.
Yeah.
He has a lot of my friends on his show, too. I'm always excited. I'm like, I know them, and they're funny. So it's going to be a great time. I love being on Pete's show, and it's a good way to – that show is a great day, great way to wind down your day.
It really is.
But I will say, after Pete's show, Civic Media's programming doesn't stop. There are great shows after Native Roots are on, National Revolution is there, and those shows, all of those shows, whether it's Pete's show, our show.
Earl's got a podcast.
Earl's got a brand new podcast called What's Going On, and that leads me directly into what I wanted to say, which go to civicmedia.us/shows, and you can find all of our shows there. You can download episodes one by one directly to your device, listen to them whenever you would like. Or you can just simply go to your podcast distribution center of choice and you can download our shows as a podcast as well. Subscribe to them, and that way new episodes are delivered directly to your device when they are available, as well as, you know, maybe giving us a 5-star review if we deserve it.
If we deserve it.
Because that helps with visibility and ratings.
Absolutely. We'd appreciate it. Greg Bach tonight on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Mm-hmm. Be listening around 7:20. Check out the whole show. Starts tonight at 6:00. Dan Schaefer mentioned this when he was on yesterday, and we didn't really have too much time to delve into it. Wisconsin Senior Senator Ron Johnson yesterday, he's not happy with a new measure that would kind of crack down on insider trading among our members of Congress.
Yeah.
Senator Josh Hawley drew up a bill banning the practice of, again, Congresswomen being able to trade on insider trading. Josh Hawley drew up a bill banning that practice, but boy, that's landing with a thud, including from the president. Donald Trump on social media called Josh Hawley a second-tier senator, playing right into the dirty hands of the Democrats. I don't think real Republicans want to see their president, who has had unprecedented success, targeted. So, Rojo, we're going to play a little clip from Wisconsin Senior Senator Ron Johnson talking about this measure that would crack down on our elected officials from using their insider information to trade stocks. Calvin, can we play that clip, please, from Senator Ron Johnson?
We make it very unattractive for people to step up to the plate and run for office or potentially serve in office. I tried hiring a retired CFO many years ago.
Okay.
This after the pass of the Stock Act. Would have been great. I could have had somebody really expert in international taxation, that type of thing. I could not find anybody willing to do it.
Hmm.
So this piece of legislation, really, it's legislative demagoguery.
You know, we do have insider trading laws. We have financial disclosure.
Yeah.
Trust me, we have financial disclosure. The press pays attention to it. So I don't see the necessity of this.
Of course.
I can imagine all kinds of unintended consequences.
Really?
You could relabel this law, quite honestly, the Career Politician Protection Act, because it'll make it so unattractive for people to give up their business, sell it.
They have to sell it?
Mm-mm.
Unless some ethics committee says, oh, no, there won't be a conflict of interest. I mean, there's when we pass a tax law that lowers tax rates, we all benefit.
Ah!
It's just an inherent issue.
When we pass tax cuts, we all benefit. It's just inherent.
Jane, that may be the greatest 1 minute, 15 seconds, the most impactful, full of confessions I have ever heard. I mean, really, honestly, I don't know if I've ever heard in such a small amount of time so much just blatant honesty coming out of one elected official. I mean,
that was completely inadvertent.
Because when you played this for me, we both saw two different things. Blaring things. I want you to talk about what you...
Well, okay, my question is, he tried to hire a retired CFO. Now, the measure that he was referring to, mm-hmm. that Stock Act,
correct,
was developed after the crash in 2008, right?
Yes.
And then wasn't enacted into law until 2012.
Correct.
Okay. But that was in response to what happened after the crash of 2008.
Yeah.
So Ron Johnson telling us that he couldn't find a former chief financial officer of a company, which from what I understand is a pretty high-powered position if you're a company CFO.
Depending on your company, yeah, but you can make, I mean...
You can make some pretty good buck
being
a CFO.
Exactly.
He couldn't find a retired CFO to work for him because he wasn't allowed to do insider trading?
Yeah, because the Stock Act specifically talks about, it's about transparency, it's about making sure we understand, aims at making the people capable of seeing how the elected officials make their money, essentially.
Well, isn't what he's saying essentially the reason to go into Congress is to make money?
And that was
to get rich.
That was my big blaring thing, was that, you know, first of all, the whole CFO line basically said this guy, if this is true, which I don't think it is, but there was a man, I'll just call him a man, former CFO sitting in his office saying, hey, if it wasn't for the Stock Act, I would take the job, which to me is saying, like, if I could insider trade, that'd be great, but I can't, so I'm not going to.
Well, what's the point of doing this?
And the line about we're not making it attractive for people to run for office. So what I hear from that is the people that you believe are running for office are seeking to enrich themselves. There is no doubt that individuals in federally elected positions become more wealthy over time.
Look at Kristen Sinema.
Bernie Sanders, I think, is worth $10 million. Now, granted, he's probably one of the, quote, poorer ones.
Right.
But he's still worth way more than me. But when he says something to the effect of we're not making it look attractive, that's someone saying, well, I'd run for Congress, but I only make $174,000 a year and get great health care. I can't do anything else. Forget it. And also, where does it say you have to, I know you have to divest from your business.
Yes. Or put it into a blind trust.
There are ways, you don't, but there's no, I don't believe there's a single law in the books that says you must sell your business off. If you want to, you can, but I don't believe there's anything that says you have to know you, for the time you're in office, you divest yourself.
Trump didn't sell all his businesses.
No, he did not at all.
His sons are still running his businesses.
So all of this.
Rojo didn't sell his business.
No. And all of this being said is that he's searching for a reason not to support this. And every example he used basically just said out loud why some individuals go into politics in the federal level. They want to make money and they want to use the information available to them to enrich themselves. He didn't even say it as like a, oops, I shouldn't have said that.
No.
He literally said, this is the reason why I'm against this. By the way, Josh Hawley, as a, quote, second-tier Republican senator, the man raised a fist to the people who stormed the Capitol on January 6th. Ask Derek Van Orden. He probably saw him there doing that because Derek Van Orden was there.
Was there.
But sorry, I didn't mean to go off there. But that's that line right there is like, it's the whole thing of, I think Josh Hawley's a rhino now.
Well, but that was yesterday.
Yeah.
Today,
yes.
Josh Hawley had something else to say.
Yes, he had a, 11 hours ago, the article came out about the second tier senator, because that's what Trump does. He reacts, he lashes out, he makes a statement to the press, and that's what's the headline. I get that. We're used to that at this point. 45 minutes ago, Josh Hawley reports to having a, quote, good talk with the president.
Did he have a good talk?
Yeah. So maybe this will that will help make this bill go into what politicians call a drawer. It will go into a drawer, and we'll just forget about it.
Pretend it never happened.
Pretend it never happened. And the one time Josh Hawley stood up for us. My God.
Well, he crumbled like a cheap. I mean, please. And what the other thing that jumped out at me on that, yes, there are allegedly already things in place that are supposed to police this. But with their spending reports, their campaign finance reports and all that stuff, how many times have we had lawmakers go back and amend those reports after it was reported that they didn't go about things the right way?
Mm-hmm.
Or they made money that, oops, they forgot to include on there. So I that doesn't seem like what we have in place right now doesn't seem to have a whole lot of teeth.
No, and I was corrected on the live stream. Thank you very much, PJ. And I looked it up myself, too. Bernie Sanders is worth between $2.5 to $3 million.
Well, he's practically a pauper.
Well, yeah, exactly. And honestly, that nowadays, that's the retirement fund, hopefully, of a good couple who have worked their whole lives for 40 years and blah, blah, blah. And will still have struggling moments in their lives. But, this whole notion, going back to the whole financial disclosures, the way he said it too, because trust me, they're fine. No, don't say like it's a burden. That's part of the gig. You want to be a public servant. You have to tell the public what you're about. You must disclose.
Sorry, that's kind of the, well, today you have to. Maybe we'll just get rid of that down the road, and they want to have to, those burdensome reporting things they have to do.
And honestly, just do what Trump does. Don't do them and see who comes after you, because he didn't disclose his taxes. He's still being audited, apparently. But all they have to do is just not do something, and we stand back and go, hey, you're supposed to do this. They say no, and we, the regular people, we don't have...
We don't have the power.
We don't have the power on a regular day. We have the power at the voting booth. Absolutely. We should always exercise that and make yourself available to do that. And go to myvote.wi.gov. Let Ron Johnson know that maybe he shouldn't be able to enrich himself through lowering his own taxes and inside information. Maybe he'd like to know that.
I'm sure he would. Myvote.wi.gov. You got kind time today. Grab your phone and just leave a friendly phone call. Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot. How long are these smoky conditions going to last? She will tell us. Stay close. You're listening to Matinee on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, our resident young person, Calvin on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It's been too long. Civic Media's meteorologist Brittany Merlot joining us for a little weather and wine. You actually took a little time off for yourself to go to the EAA last week. What a difference a week makes, Brittany. Last week you were sweltering to death in that incredible heat wave we had. And today it's like 30 degrees cooler than it was yesterday.
Yes, the relief has been amazing
because...
was pouring water all over myself. That tent heated up oh so fast.
Oh, I bet.
No, thanks.
Yeah, it was rough, but you know, it was fun. It was worth it. But now it seems like I was so excited for the cooler, more comfortable temperatures, and we just can't get a nice, good quality summer day with blue skies.
Yeah.
The wildfire smoke is just It's kind of unbearable. It's hard to breathe.
Well, and there was a report that just came out that I saw on Twitter about air quality reports, and this is not good. As of 9 o'clock this morning, 6 Wisconsin cities are in the top 10 for worst air quality in the country, including Milwaukee, Beloit, Stockton, Traverse City, Waukesha, Rhinelander, Marquette, Madison, Houghton, and Green Bay. So again, these wildfires in Canada, and I had really hoped, obviously without hope yesterday, because this was a huge line of storms that came across, and I had hoped that they would get to the where they need them in Canada, and that didn't happen.
No, it didn't. Eastern Canada is expected to have some rain coming up soon, but Western, Central, not so much. Areas that really, really need it. So a big drought, severe drought in some areas. I mean, there's 70 active large wildfires. Jeez. And this high pressure system that we were looking forward to is the reason, you know, it's so dry and drought and calm there. Now it's moving its way towards us, just dragging that smoke at us. And I was looking into it. It's pretty cool. It's at 20,000 feet and it moves at 125 miles per hour.
And we talked about this last year. Is this something, you know, with regard to wildfires and whatnot, something and the smoke coming down from Canada, that's just something we're going to probably be used to now. That's something something that happens in our region.
Yeah. So that's the new norm. Yay. We signed up for this unknowingly. It really is. And I was chatting with the Wisconsin DNR earlier this week and I was asking the same thing. How unusual is this? You know, and the one thing that she was like, it's earlier. It's bigger.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
She's like, usually we send people over there to help. We're doing that now. Now we've got more already. And it's just the efforts are just ongoing and ongoing. And their season runs till September, wildfire season in Canada. So we've got a ways to go.
Yeah.
Was it 2 years ago or 3 years ago, the first time that smoke moved into Wisconsin? Because I'm 65 years old. That had never happened before. I had never seen that happen before. And now, as you said, Greg, unfortunately, apparently this is just going to be an annual thing.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. That was 3 years ago. You know, it started creeping into parts of northern Minnesota about 10 years ago or so. But the fact that it's moving further south, more and more frequent, Illinois is starting to see it more and more often. It's becoming the normal here. Yeah, it's not fun.
It's just very off-putting. I know, like, because it's essentially newer, and I don't know how to say this. Yep. I don't forget that it's happening. I think what I thought was I was expecting it a few months ago, maybe like in May and June. And it didn't happen. So I thought, oh, okay, well, maybe it'll not be that bad.
Good summer.
And then I walked outside. I'm like, oh, it is misty, foggy, weird outside. And it can just really happen anytime during those months.
Yeah. So a lot of these fires were actually started by lightning strikes. So their storm season started up, lightning strikes in the woods. It's a remote area. They can't get to it. It just blows out of proportion. You've got the winds up there, tons of trees and stuff. And I mean, even today, now we're not in a bad fire risk, but up north in our Northwoods, a moderate risk versus everywhere else, nothing.
What do we got coming for the weekend, Brittany, as far as weather-wise across the state?
Well, I hope the smoke will be gone by Saturday. Fingers crossed that it will be out of here. It'll for sure be gone by Sunday. I can guarantee you that. And comfortable temperatures, mid to upper 70s as we close out the week and into the weekend. Dry. Up until about Monday night, I think there's a chance for some showers and storms far north. And then Tuesday, a little bit more likely, Monday and Tuesday, more widespread here for us.
But no immediate 95s coming our way or anything like that?
Well, she's not saying that. Yeah, next weekend, it's going to be back into that high heat, high humidity. All that is going to definitely return. So this weekend, comfortable. Next weekend, you'll be sweating again.
So enjoy it while we got it.
The weather 180.
Yep. I don't know why you ask that question every time, Jane. You never like the answer unless it's like mid-December. Like, are we going to get 95 days? No, it's December. You're fine.
Great.
Enjoy bone-cracking cold instead. But no, yeah. I just feel like don't ask the herald of the weather gods, Brittany Merlot. It'll never be the news you want. That's right. I just refer to her as the herald of the weather gods.
I love it. Here's the good news, though, with the humidity. Ladies, everyone, you age slower. It's better for your face and the wrinkles and the skin. There's your positive.
There you go.
She said that. There's looking at me. That's okay.
She said
that's
ladies. No,
she was looking at me, but that's okay.
Men, we just get old and withered over time, and we take it because that means we had a good life.
Brittany Merlot is Civic Media's meteorologist. She joins us every Thursday for a little weather and wine. Thank you so much, my friend. Really appreciate it. We will see you next week. We have news coming up next, and then we're going to talk all things sports with the Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan, except yesterday's game that never happened. We're going to pretend that was just not a thing. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide. Pick us up around the world on the app. We are the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call. Text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Maggie Dawn today, 4 to 6 across the network, has a great show. Mm-hmm. Special about cryptocurrency.
Oh my goodness, yes.
It's going to be fantastic. Maggie's talking with Professor Brad Rettler. He is the author of Resistance Money. So they're going to kick around the basics of crypto, which I think all of us need to learn about, including,
yes,
including me.
Yeah.
And then in the 5 o'clock hour, Maggie talking with Professor Richard Painter. Really, I follow him on Twitter.
Yeah.
Former ethics attorney for George W. Bush, breaking down the potential government corruption and manipulation,
yeah,
of cryptocurrency. Going to be a great show today with Maggie. Tune in 4 to 6 across the network. Joining us right now to talk all things sports except for yesterday's game, which never happened. Paul Noonan is here from the Acme Packing Company. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Happy to be here. And yes, that game did not exist.
Yeah, we're just going to pretend it didn't happen, or we're going to follow what the current administration and.
Well, I proposed an idea, Paul. First of all, I don't know what game you're talking about. It was Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. Wednesday didn't happen. I feel this is me, and I would like to propose this for baseball. If you take a series but you don't sweep, whatever losses from that team, like the Brewers lost yesterday, see, I said it, I grow, doesn't count against the total standing count. So, like, they're still ahead two games because even they took the series, and that's what's important. They didn't win yesterday, but they still took the series. Therefore, they get the total victory of what it was sweep. It's simple mathematics, everybody. Do you understand me?
I can go with that. The other way to go, Paul Noonan, that we were just talking about is we're just going to be like the Trump administration and say they won.
Yeah, Brewers won.
They just won.
Make it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Greg's idea is actually how the Savannah Bananas do innings. You get 1 point for scoring more runs in an inning than the other team, regardless of how many runs you actually score. And so the last inning is always close. The last inning runs count. So, like, you can only get up by, I think, a total of 6 maximum, and then runs count. That thing is crazy. I like all the rules they have.
That's hilarious.
Baseball should adopt some of them.
But, it's interesting you bring up the bananas really quick, because that's what a player, I believe, for the Phillies used them as an example when they were very upset about Mr. Jacob Mizorowski going to the Hall of Fame. I'm not the Hall of Fame, sorry. The All-Star game. He was like, this is the Savannah Bananas out here. I'm like, really? It's 5 games is a short amount of time, but it's not the Savannah Bananas. He's not like coming out on stilts.
Yeah, exactly.
I bet he could.
Stilts,
yeah.
He's already 6'7". He kind of is on stilts.
Yeah, exactly.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
So the Brewers are on fire. I mean, before yesterday's loss, they had the best record in baseball. And yep. I've been saying this, you know, and it's been a few weeks since the last time we spoke. You know, whether it was you or J.R. Radcliffe or myself or other Brewers fans. And in April, we had a much different outlook on what this team would be doing. And I understand there's still another half of baseball to be played. But this is surprising, exciting, but like, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I think it's also important to state that this also isn't lucky. One of the ways we track luck in baseball is the team's underlying differential in runs scored. And the Cubs have been sort of dominating that in the National League for the entire season. And we should also, the Cubs are good.
Yes.
Yeah. Throw that out there. But the Brewers have actually been catching up to them also in run differential. Like, they were like 70 runs behind them for most of the season. And over the last month and a half, they actually briefly got within like 5 runs of them. After the Cubs win yesterday, it's like a 15 or something like that. But they're close enough that they are functionally as good as the Cubs in underlying metrics and in record. And so, like, they're not like this, like, scrappy go-getter anymore that's chasing the big bad. They are their own big bad. They are on par with every other good team in baseball, Yankees, Dodgers, anybody you want to throw out there. And they've just hit a lot of just wins in terms of player development, getting Andrew Vaughn and turning him into something really special from the White Sox has been just a revelation to fix first base for the time being. Sal Frelick has turned into a legitimately dangerous outfielder from like a little tiny scrappy guy. Honestly, the best team in baseball at turning little tiny scrappy guys into actual offensive forces is the Brewers. I'm not really sure. There's no other team like them. Like, nobody else has this. Their offense is a meat grinder. The only weak spot in it really is Joey Ortiz, who's frankly not even that bad and still a defensive whiz at shortstop. And pitching, of course. Like, the Cubs have made some trades up to the deadline to get some pitching because they've been sorely lacking. They really only had three starters. The Brewers have like 10. On the pitching side, the Brewers are the best team in baseball. They have so much depth. They have so many guys who throw 100. It's ridiculous. So this is a true force of nature, and they're real. Like, the one thing I could say to every Brewers fan out there is this is a real contender. This is the best contender they've had in a long time. And, you know, they've been good for like a decade now. This is one of the best of those teams.
So this is when I'm going to defer to you for your expertise, because you're talking analytics, and that's one thing I wish my brain could understand, because when you're like, run differential, I'm like, yeah, they run when they hit the ball. But what is the change? Because this is not a matter of, oh, the bats woke up or the pitching is good, because as you just stated, this is a combined team effort, and this is work by Pat Murphy. This is work by the front office. This is work by Mark Antanasio as the owner. What changed in those few months where we were literally saying this will be a 500 baseball team, and that's, and then whatever, and that
you can't, we'll take it.
Not every year can be great, yeah. But to what seems like being called like the Red Hot Brewers right now, what changed as a team to make this happen?
When they started the season, so it is, I think, mostly offensive driven. Their pitching has been good, but if you remember at the start of the season, like, five starters were hurt. So one thing that changed is those guys got healthy. Woodruff is back and pitching well. Like, they added Mizorowski, who's like adding an ace. It's basically like trading for an ace without giving anything up. But more than anything, they had a bunch of holes in the offense to start the season. Their third base, remember Vinny Capra made this team out of camp, one of the worst players in baseball this year. Vinny's fine, but they've actually, like, Caleb Durbin has come on, and he's not the greatest player ever, but he went from third base being a black hole to being slightly better than average offensively. That was big change number one. Isaac Collins is statistically the most valuable hitter on this team. A guy who literally came out of nowhere, who my good friend Spencer, who's on our podcast, actually really liked and I should listen to more often, and has made it so there's really no holes in the outfield. And the acquisition of Andrew Vaughn. So they had pretty good first base production when Rhys Hoskins was healthy, when Lauer was healthy. But Vaughn, that getting him was a steal. Like, I don't know if people know how good Andrew Vaughn has been. It's only been 16 games, I think, with the Brewers. 16 games, he's basically been the best hitter in baseball. Like, he has played at an MVP level after spending his entire career with the White Sox and being basically terrible. Sometimes these things are like little small sample size, like, oh, he'll probably turn into a pumpkin next week. And maybe he will. But one thing I really like to do is steal players from awful teams. The Rockies and the White Sox are two of the worst organizations in sports.
Yeah.
And if you look at the, like, Andrew Vaughn's profile, there's a chance this might actually stick, because he had a big problem swinging at pitches outside the zone with the White Sox. He swung at about 36% of pitches outside the zone. The Brewers have got that down to 22. And when he swings at a pitch in the zone, he makes contact 90% of the time.
Wow.
And it's hard contact. So, with the White Sox so far this year, which he played most of the season with, he struck out 43 times and he walked 7 times. With the Brewers so far in his 16 games, he has struck out 7 times and walked 7 times. So he's walked as much with the Brewers in 16 games as he did with the White Sox the entire first half of the season. I think they actually may have fixed him for real, which never happens midseason.
We made him a real boy.
Seriously.
Well done, Geppetto.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to Paul Noonan on Matt and Aaron Air. He is the Acme sports writer. And also, I've been meaning to do this more often because, yes, you have a podcast, Milwaukee's Tailgate Brewer Podcast. It is a great breakdown of all the news of the Brewers, and it helps me because I love baseball, but the numbers and the statistics,
the stats and all that stuff,
kind of hit me in the face sometimes. But you guys make it very digestible, and I appreciate that. So go and find that where you find your podcasts. And it just feels like right now there's not something that can make this team fall apart immediately. Like, something can happen. There's no doubt. But like, I feel like so many years before that, it's like, oh, the pitching falls apart. That's why you fall apart. Oh, the hitting falls apart. But what you're saying is like the puzzle pieces are coming together, and that's much more exciting. So much great things to watch over the next few weeks.
Yeah, and what I love about this too, I think, is that the season started off just kind of like, we'll play. It's not going to be great.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. But then to see them turn into this, it's really exciting. It is.
It really is. And there's so many surprises, and nobody projected them to be this good. No, no preseason projection had them this good. Some of them had them as fringe playoff contenders, but they've just had so many things work out. I think it's really a testament to their player development and the front office that they've managed to create this depth and just create so many winners like Isaac Collins and get Frelick into a spot where he's actually a dangerous hitter. Like, they really seem to know what they're doing at this point.
Paul Noonan is our guest in the time we have left. Paul, let's talk a little bit about the Packers, because Packers training camp is underway.
It's been kind of exciting so far. There's been a good amount of drama. So Elgton Jenkins is going to likely play center this year after playing mostly guard, some tackle. He's kind of the Swiss Army knife of the offensive line. He is not happy because centers are paid less than guards and tackles. And he did just get a new deal a couple of years ago, but he wants more money. So we'll see if they do anything there. But he did report and is playing, which is good. But the offensive line has been made to run a couple of extra laps so far in training camp. They have had some issues. Rashid Walker in particular. Hopefully they get that together. And also want to mention Nate Hobbs is a cornerback that we acquired from the Raiders in the offseason. He is likely to be our starting slot cornerback, the guy who covers the little guys that run in the middle of the field. He's been tackling people too hard. It's been kind of a love-hate thing. They told him to calm down, but keep an eye on him as a potentially like hard-hitting enforcer type once the season actually starts. He officially did not cause running back Marshawn Lloyd's injury, but he unofficially maybe sort of did. And so Hobbs is a guy to keep an eye on. He's a pretty good player historically. He's good for the Raiders. He's good in the slot. But you may have a bit of a character on your hands with him once the season starts. And honestly, the Packers, I do think, benefit when they have at least one or two guys on the defense who are sort of unreasonable thumpers. So, don't hurt
I
your
love
own guys.
That.
It's going to be the name of my album, I think, Unreasonable
Jane
Thumpers.
Jane and the Unreasonable Thumpers.
I like that. There's potential there. Paul Noonan is with the Acme Packing Company. He joins us every other Thursday to talk all things sports. As Greg said, check out his podcast.
Milwaukee's Tailgate Podcast, where you find your podcast.
Thank you so much,
all
Paul.
All the podcast places.
Yes.
Thanks, all.
We will see you in a couple. When we return, we're going to wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, the Terminator Bunny Edition. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Tomorrow is the 1st of August. I hate to be the one to tell you.
There's like too many emotions happening right there. I mean... It's the classic thing. I think State Fair starts today.
It does. State Fair is starting today.
And that's the traditional end of summer, even though it's not the end of summer. But still, if you're in Wisconsin,
First day of August tomorrow.
Oh,
and we have a busy, busy week for you coming up next week. Shelley Pittman is going to be here. Beyond the Cheese is set for Monday. We are going to talk to the Poppy Bakery.
Ooh.
Very excited about that. Todd Alba will be joining us. We're trying to finagle Civic Media's genie of just about everything Terry Barr for next week. She works on wonderful pieces that are very Wisconsin-centric.
Yeah.
Joe Zepecki is going to be joining us next week.
It's been a spell.
It's been way too
been
long.
A moment.
Way too long since we talked to Joe. Darren Von Rudin will be here as well. I always
no,
screw
no, no,
up
you
his
got,
name. Did
no,
I get
no,
it right
No,
today?
You got it. Absolutely. It's Darren Von Rudin. But doesn't matter. When you started, I'm like, you said Darren Von, and I just heard Darren. I'm like, we what?
Darren Von Rudin will be here. He joins us the first Wednesday of every month. He is a dairy farmer in Wisconsin.
Yes,
we're going to talk to Darren coming up next week. Right now, though, Calvin, it is 10:54. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever find a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays. janesays@civicmedia.us. Calvin found this one in Popular Science. Margarita Bassi with the byline. The headline reads, Robot Bunnies Deployed in Florida to Fight Invasive Pythons. Researchers have found a creative new solution to track down the snakes. Now, to clarify, we kind of love the robot bunnies.
Yeah.
It's the Burmese pythons that shouldn't be a thing in Florida.
And also, to those Burmese pythons, we know you don't want to be there.
Exactly.
And we're sorry that someone put you there.
Yeah, and then released you.
I also don't want people putting invasive species animals. That's what I shouldn't be a thing as well.
That also should not be a thing. Burmese pythons, one of the world's largest snake and a huge invasive species in southern Florida. They have been trying to fight this since the 1970s when the snakes were first introduced either accidentally or intentionally through the exotic pet
Florida,
trade.
Of course it was intentional.
Yes, of course it was intentional. Pythons have become the top predators in South Florida, and they have a really hard time tracking them down. So they're coming up with creative ways to lure them out into the open, and by creative, they are using robot bunnies. Here, bunny, here, snake, snake, snake.
All right. Does anybody, either you, Jane, Calvin, listeners, watchers on the live stream, anyone else getting a real... Acme/Looney Tunes feel about this whole thing? Like there's somewhere there's just a boxes of it just says Acme robot bunnies, and someone's gonna pull the wrong cord and the cave is just,
and it's gonna be like 9 feet tall,
meep, meep, and just and then the snake just runs away.
Yeah
this there is a visual component. The story will be in the show notes. I don't accuse snakes of being the smartest creatures on earth, but you look at it and you're like, oh, this isn't... When you think robot bunny, you have an image in your head. Take that image out, put it in the washing machine, and that's what the robot bunny looks like.
Do you think that it will fool a Burmese python?
Oh, I'm sure, but it will fool it in the same sense of it will think it's just a thing, and not like, oh, it's a bunny. It will be like, oh, there's an object I can go...
That I might be able to eat.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's not... really bunny-like is what you're saying.
It's bunny, but it doesn't look like it's bunny-esque. It's bunny. It's not bunny adjacent. It's bunny-ish.
Robot bunnies don't need to be fed.
Okay.
Their pens don't need to be cleaned. They're waterproof, and they're decked out with a motion sensor camera that pings researchers if a python approaches. So if we can see a statistically significant number of pythons coming to check out these robot rabbits, this would be a success, because right now pythons are really good at hiding. Remains to be seen whether the pythons will be tricked by the fake bunnies.
Another thing too is if they're smart and able to hide, they're eventually going to realize the quote bunny that doesn't move
is not necessarily the bunny of my dreams.
Yeah, exactly. The bunny of you. Stop it! Stop writing songs about this. Look. Do what you need to do. It's fine. South Florida, my heart's with you.
They're trying.
But this just I just see Porky Pig at the end going, that's all, folks, and that's it. That's the end of the story.
We'll try and keep an eye on this and let you know how this robot bunny effort goes in South Florida. That wraps up today's episode of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. If you're watching on the live stream, it really does mean the world.
We appreciate you.
I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. Keep it right here. News coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman, 11 to 2. Todd Alba live from Richland Center, 2 to 4. Great cryptocurrency special with Maggie Dawn today. Mm-hmm. 4 to 6, and then Pete Schwabba 6 to 8. Greg's going to be on tonight with Pete. Check that out.
You're welcome.
Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.